In order to really affect change, I feel like we can't do it alone. We have to do it together.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creatives, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. We will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder.
Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Joel Schroeder, tuning in today from Nederland, Colorado. Today's guest is joining us from Medellin, Colombia, Tarek Kalusi in the house. Tarek, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
Let's do it.
Amazing. So really excited to have this gentleman on the show. He has had quite an interesting background, being a social entrepreneur, graduating, you know, from Georgetown and MBA honors from NYU. You've also worked, in strategic leadership with organizations such as Goldman Sachs, and have had this whole corporate world of things, but then also found call to really create a different evolution. And I know you had a few goals before your 40th birthday, exploring 100 different countries, running 25 marathons, and really challenging yourself to create a social enterprise to expand your mind, but also really your heart. And so you started, just in the last year, this organization and this enterprise called Nomads Giving Back, which already in the first year, 47 events in 8 different countries. And the mission behind Nomads Giving Back, for those that haven't heard about it, is to really give, these nomads, the expats, many of you unconventional lifers, the travelers, to give back to the communities that you call home away from home. And, really to solve the problem, and I know I've encountered this myself, whether I've been in Guatemala or, South America or in other places, of like, I want to help or I want to support, but I don't know how. And I think it's such an important thing to actually create the bridge as more of us are coming to this freedom-based lifestyle and are interacting with different cultures, to actually create, a structure that allows digital nomads, whether you fully identify with that term or not, unconventional lifers, the vehicle to do so. So really excited to hear about the evolution of that, the journey from Wall Street land into this line of thinking. And I know you guys are just getting started, a lot of things on the horizon for this year as well. But welcome to the show. Fill in any gaps that I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for having me, Jules. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Nomads Giving Back, in the sense of for those, the concept makes a lot of sense to me, but for those that are kind of hearing it for the first time, like, what was the moment where you were like, yeah, I want to do this? And then it was like, as a visionary myself, like, things just kind of come to me in different ways. And I always get curious, like, if we were a fly on the wall and in your life, like, when that moment was, maybe it was an onset or maybe it was gradual, but really what sparked the vision?
Yeah, sure. So thank you for the wonderful introduction. I found myself in the corporate world of New York City mostly. And over the years, I found myself feeling a little less excited about what I was doing, less motivated, and was looking for a change. And then around 2012, years ago, I had 4 moments that all kind of happened within a few months that really propelled me to make a big change in my life. And 2 of them were a little bit tough. I had my cousin who I was close to, who suddenly died, was roughly my age, and really served as a way to wake me up from understanding the fact that, life is indefinite. Life is a certain amount of time, and made me realize that I'm going to die too soon at some point. And at the same time, in the next, like within a month or two, was the Hurricane Sandy in New York City, where I was living, and where in the East Village, there was a blackout for 4 days. And funny enough, I was supposed to run my very first marathon that Sunday. Leave that marathon, I went and volunteered with other runners or potential runners to help support the victims of Staten Island that got hit hard. And, that day really resonated with me, and in terms of make me realize that people were really struggling with real problems, you know, and the family that I was helping to clear their house, they were stuck in their attic for days with water up to the second floor, and in their backyard, two young boys had died. And so like these two experiences really kind of helped me understand that death like is there, and that life has a certain span of time. And what am I gonna do with the time I have on this earth? And then 2 weeks later, I finally ran that marathon. I hopped over to Philadelphia, the city of my birth, and ran my very first marathon. And that to me was an impossible challenge. Like I never thought, as someone who had smoked for many years and wasn't the healthiest guy, to get to a point where I could run a marathon made me realize that like, if I could do the impossible in one part of my life, maybe I could do the impossible in another part of my life. And then I was walking through the streets of New York City and bumped into this woman in the street where she was moving her boxes and they were falling off. And I ran up to her and asked if I can give her a hand. We only had like a 10-minute chat. But in that 10-minute chat, I really think that she changed my life, because I was asking her like, what's going on? What are you doing? And she said that she had just completed her first dream of traveling to 100 countries during her sabbatical year. And she just came back to realize that she just wants to get back into the field and go keep traveling. But she came home to move her boxes to her parents' home. And now she's going after her second dream, which was to create a social enterprise. And, you know, just seeing someone that just like me, same age, same kind of background, living the life that I really dreamed about, but I didn't think was possible, really made me decide between the marathon and that and the two challenges I faced it. I realized, you know what? Life is short. Let's go for it. And I bought a one-way ticket and never looked back.
Wow. I've had goosebumps a lot while you were just sharing that. And, you know, I think life, at least in my own life, I've experienced, you know, several of those nudges. And I don't know if this has been true for you as well, but I find if I'm being called to make a course correct, those nudges just get louder and louder and louder. And I think, you know, to actually then make the decision point, the jumping point, you know, like you said, that I bought the one-way ticket and I never looked back. What was going through your mind when you finally like got the courage to actually pull the trigger? Because I think a lot of people, you know, that might even be hearing this right now, might even be in a phase in their life where like they're getting the nudges. Maybe it's in tuning into these podcasts or in this podcast episode or hearing in your story. And it's like they're feeling called for more, but to actually like jump or actually take the first step can sometimes, you know, be daunting. And so I'm curious, what was happening that actually had you finally leap and be like, all right, I'm doing it. And then from the journey that you've had since, any perspective you could share for those that might be in a similar position in their own way right now?
That's an amazing question. I think, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And what I realized is that in that time of my life, I knew deep down that I was swimming upstream, that I was living a life that wasn't aligned with my values, with the life I wanted to live in this imaginary scenario, if anything was possible. So the thing is like, we're all conditioned, and every day we're living a habitualized life and surrounding ourselves with the same people, the same company, the same family that may love you, but you know, even your loved ones, if they treat you to the way you have been, you often kind of fulfill that role, and it becomes this perpetuating cycle of living the predictable life because you're just playing your role. And I realized that, like, that's why I got so passionate about travel, is that stepping outside of that regular environment, that routine, is where you can actually gain perspective. So I knew that I needed to, but I knew I couldn't do anything just yet at that time. So what I did was kind of did my own little boot camp retreat where all my free time, I designed it in a way that was only about inspiration. It was only about supporting change. And so I remember I attended the TED Talk virtually while working remotely for my apartment. So, you know, 50 hours of inspiring talks that I read all the books I could find about personal growth and how to find happiness and how to start like something in the social impact world, because that was my specific dream. I decided to be careful about who I let into my space and try to minimize that time with them, and then seek out people who do inspire me and who would encourage me to go after my dreams. And then when I finally got the courage to make the decision to resign, and in that kind of field I was in, that could be, you know, corporate suicide. When I finally got the courage to do it, I decided not to tell anyone. Maybe like my best friend who I knew had my back, who really knew what I was after. But I didn't tell people. I didn't even tell my own family until after I resigned. And then I told them. And then a lot of the pushback came. But at that point, it was too late. So I'm so thankful I played it that way. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so great. We host these unconventional life events in locations all over the world, and many of you listeners, you know, have either come or know about them. And I was talking to someone who joined us in Morocco last year, and she was like, you know, I quit my job 6 weeks ago, and I still haven't told anyone. And she shared with the unconventional life group. This was like her first group she had shared it with. And she was like, I just don't want to hear everyone else's opinion, because if I do, she was like, I would be afraid that I wouldn't follow through with that. And, you know, we have so many voices or birdies in our ears, I find, in our life. And, you know, and I find like sometimes it can be really confronting with that. And so it totally resonates, you know, with what you're saying. And, then you're on this one-way ticket, and then you're, you know, in the space. And that's another point I want to talk about, because there's a gap, right, between when you make a leap from where you've been, like you've resigned from the job, into what happens next. And that gap, like as human beings, we're not wired to live there. Meaning that so many of us, we're like, we leave one thing and we're like, all right, I've resigned. And sometimes it can be liberating for a little bit of time, but then our like brains kick in and we're like, well, what am I supposed to do with my life? And how am I going to make money? And where's my certainty? And where's my security? And so how did you navigate that gap? And when did, you know, Nomad Giving Back come in? Was it soon? Did it take some time? And any thoughts for being in that gap in terms of keeping your mental game in check you could offer or reflect on?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. That gap is the interesting part. So what I did was I got into running over the last few years, and I mentioned the story about my first marathon. And so I timed it where I put my biggest physical challenge of my life the day before my flight. That was one way ticket, where I went and ran a double marathon in San Francisco. And the next day I hopped on a plane that had a few layovers, but really ended straight to the Taj Mahal. Right from the airport. That was the way I kicked off my journey. And then that month I spent in India, and I did the craziest thing of my life. I joined something called a rickshaw run, and I drove a rickshaw, like a tuk-tuk, from top to bottom of India for 4,000 kilometers, which is basically like a golf cart, for those of you that don't know. And my God, I mean, that took me to places I never would have imagined that existed. I got to meet people that I never would have imagined meeting. And I got, that thing broke down 20 times. And so it felt like a game of Survivor, where without speaking the local language, you'd have to figure out how to move this golf cart across to find a mechanic, fix it somehow, and get back on the road. and the looks we would get from the local Indians was just precious. And, you know, I did that, you know, for a sense of adventure, but also like, because I feel like, you know, challenging your assumptions is really important. And I learned a lot, like getting lost literally, but literally also losing myself. I mean, I felt that, you know, having this crazy challenge with all this adrenaline and all this excitement and all this culture with people that are living pretty much as opposite lives as my Manhattan corporate life, right? Seeing that these people just look at you and they smile and they're curious and they want to get to know you and they're welcoming you to your homes. They help, you know, one more thing about that story I just can't help but share is that every single time that that rickshaw broke down, within 2 minutes, like clockwork, there was a swarm of people there trying to help us. Sometimes it would go straight to the engine and start fixing it. And you know, that's such a beautiful human experience to see that there's cultures out there that aren't so fear-based and so shy away from strangers, but rather like we are a community. We are here to help each other. And it was really touching.
Yeah. Wow. So good. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about Nomads Giving Back and just kind of how it's been this last year. As I said before, you've done 47 events, which is crazy as a woman who does events as well in a different right. You are definitely mobilizing a lot. And you also have quite a large team, you know, 23 different team members, a whole slew of ambassadors. But what kind of, you know, is the model for it? And why do you feel like, you know, especially being now in the start of a new decade in 2020, you know, what bridge you feel like it's really satisfying? What inspires you about it?
Sure. So, after backpacking for a while, I found myself finding the need for community and wanting to have, you know, not so much transactional relationships, but more of a longer lasting relationships. But it's tough to do that while you're a nomad or traveling around, moving around, an expat moving to different places. And, you know, I was craving that rather than having like that 100 conversations with 100 people that, hi, my name is Tarek and I'm from New York. I wanted to have that 100th conversation with one person. And I found myself gravitating to these nomad hubs like Bali and Chiang Mai and Medellin, Colombia, where I am right now. And I found this movement of nomads, digital nomads, whatever you want to call them, but people that are location independent, spending a lot of time at co-working hubs and cafes and going to events, and really this self-selected population that are after curating something, building something, taking a leap into the unconventional life. And I got really inspired by this group. But I also realized that there seemed to be this common challenge that I heard a lot where they say, you know, I would love to get to know more locals, but I really don't know how. Or I would love to give back to local communities, but I don't know how to do that. I don't know which causes. I don't know who to trust. I don't know what I can offer. And as I saw just in the last few years, this movement has like grown exponentially. And a lot of organizations are supporting that exponential growth, like co-working hubs, these moving travel groups, conferences. But what I found is that it's often not their priority to create social impact because they all have their own business models, which is completely appropriate. But if we're a collection of individuals and small groups, who is taking the leadership from a more macro movement level to give back? You know, you have these large companies that have corporate social responsibility departments, and any employee can always find a way to give back through that department, you know, whether it's volunteering or donations or advocacy. But when we're all a bunch of individuals or small groups, who has the incentive to do that? So I saw this gap, this opportunity, because throughout those years I was traveling, I found that when I was volunteering and getting into the local communities, those were the most meaningful moments of my life. And I felt like a lot of people are, you know, these organizations that are helping to attract people in the 9-to-5 job to take that leap, I think of them as training wheels, which can be very valuable to helping people take that leap into the unknown when they feel like there could be some sort of level of comfort zone of landing somewhere and being part of a community and knowing what to do. But it's not necessarily their priority to let go of the training wheels and let people potentially live a more flourishing life by getting off the beaten path and getting outside of the nomad expat bubble and actually really growing in deeper ways. And so I think Nomads Giving Back, that's the birth of it, is that I would love to create more deep connections and that value that comes from helping others by helping them solve the problem. I want to give back and I don't know how.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's such a, an important intersection too. And I think as, you know, I mean, entrepreneurship in so many ways, what I love about it is we're literally solving, you know, problems and it's impacting people and how do we add value. But I also think that there's a cost as we've come more into this freedom-based lifestyle. You know, for me with our unconventional life events, it's like, I don't want to just live in a vacuum. You know, I don't want to just go to a place or create an experience and be removed. And how do you include, you know, how do you take just the place that you're in investing in? How do you have that thrive just as much as the people you're bringing in the area to thrive? And so I think it's such an important mission. And, you know, I'm curious for those that are interested in like getting involved and also, you know, even putting something like this together, social enterprise, you know, initiatives in the world, you know, you've hit the ground running in the last year. Like, what does it take to actually, you know, take the vision and lead it through? And if we like zoom out a little bit just on like running a social enterprise, any shortcuts or just even reflections you can share from, you know, being a year in for those that are looking at starting, you know, either similar initiatives or different initiatives, but initiatives in their own right in the social enterprise space?
Yeah, good question. I would say number one is trying to understand the why of what you're looking to do, right? I mean, that applies to so many things in life, but especially when it comes to creating an entrepreneurial effort or a social enterprise, especially social enterprise, because if you're really, really authentically after the social impact, starting your own might not be the way to go. The best value you might be able to offer might be actually joining other like-minded people that are doing something. But if it is aligned with what someone is after, I would say it's still all about collaboration. Like these social challenges that we're facing, whether it's helping the environment, or poverty alleviation or female empowerment. Like these are big, you know, challenges that go back to, you know, to the history of mankind almost. And, you know, in order to really affect change, I feel like we can't do it alone. We have to do it together. And so I've realized that, especially even more so after launching Nomads Giving Back, because it's a big challenge we're trying to do. We're trying to help solve that problem that's not that easy solvable. If it was easy to solve, other people would have done it by now. And there are some amazing organizations that are tackling pieces of this. So what we're trying to do is not reinvent the wheel, but help connect the dots, right? So there are so many amazing local, locally owned social nonprofits, enterprises, NGOs, travel organizations that are also on a similar mission. And the thing is that, like, let's say you take, we have relationships with a couple of friends here in Medellin and also in Bali that have their own socially conscious, social impact themed travel trips or overnight trips as well. And the thing is that what they're struggling with is, how do I market this? How do I access this foreign community? And so that's where we're trying to help serve as a bridge between foreigners and locals all around impact. And that's the one thing that is especially important in collaboration is spreading the word, leveraging the team skills, bringing on people that are aligned with your vision. And then get into the field, like get into locals, like, you know, a large percentage of our organization are local people, because that's the only way we can serve as a bridge is if we are the bridge between locals and foreigners.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Any challenges that you feel like, you know, it's like you said earlier, we don't know what we don't know, but anything now, like in hindsight, 2020, that, you know, you could share in terms of like potential pitfalls or things that you've had to navigate that you were surprised or weren't originally anticipating in the journey?
Yeah. So where do I start? Well, I'd say one that comes up a lot with my friends who are in the impact field is that we kind of bond on this thing that people tend to hold people trying to help in the social impact field to a higher standard than if they were just in a normal for-profit job like the ones I've had in the past. You know, it's funny how, like, if someone has is trying to excel in the typical path, the conventional path, that it's sort of like celebrated when they're financially successful or they're making progress in the supporting the large companies that are all about the money. But if you try to do something and impact, a lot of times people will, might judge you based on their own personal experience and say, hey, why are you helping the environment instead of helping people? Or why are you helping people in that country instead of your home country? And it's, but if we weren't helping anyone, we would never get that criticism. So that's something that I kind of like, I found a little bit frustrating at first, but now I'm coming to terms as I talk to some mentors and people in this space and say, hey, it's just what it is. And that's one hurdle, is just kind of like going after what you believe in, despite sometimes some challenges of a pushback. And I would say, I mean, other challenges include, you know, I think it takes a lot of resilience. You know, this is an emotional roller coaster. You know, sometimes I feel like I created my dream job. I get to like spend all day talking to people who are aligned with my vision, who are doing really unique creative efforts to help in some way. And I love that because I kind of feed on other people's energies of inspiration. But, you know, I think that it's a little tricky sometimes when you have a setback, when something doesn't go your way. And to be the founder of this this organization, I'm fully accountable. I mean, every leader is always accountable at the end of the day. And I've learned a lot of lessons, professional and personal lessons, in just 1 year of leading this. And I look back like very grateful for those, but there's been times where it's a bit challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the emotional resiliency, or even just resiliency in general, you know, I think it's something that we don't talk about as much. We get, you know, taught how to scale our companies. And I was talking with the friend, I don't know if you know Johnny Miller, who also lives in Bali as well. But we were in a conversation about this yesterday, where it's like, you know, we're taught like, here's how to scale our businesses or scale our impact. But how do we like learn how to scale ourselves, right? Like if we're in the common denominator, and especially as entrepreneurs, like how you feel that day, or what's happening physically for you, or emotionally or spiritually, it all impacts your ability to show up. And I've, you know, seen that in my life. Like last year I went through pneumonia, and I was just like running, you know, a huge mastermind and all this different stuff. And it was like, every day it was just like, you know, a confrontation of myself and how do you actually stay resilient through that. And, you know, last question for you before we jump into the rapid fire round, but, you know, any best practices that you feel like keep your resiliency game strong, that you feel like, you know, if you remember the guy back in the, you know, strategic leadership New York City era, like the stuff that he might not have known that you now know now, that you could share for those that are, you know, on this continual path.
Yeah, exactly. So I would say being humble enough to realize that there's so much I don't know, and that I feel like the older I get, the more experience I get in life, I realize there's just so much to learn, and realize that other people have so much to offer you. It doesn't matter almost who they are, but everyone is always serving a purpose who enters your life, and to really, you know, just take a step back and try to get perspective, recognizing that, you know, I've grown to believe that every experience serves you in some way if you can adapt your mindset to perceive it that way, whether mm-hmm. it's a positive thing or a really challenging thing, that it's actually serving us. This human experience that we're in is really for us to grow and to figure out our purpose and how to help others. And you know, I don't think I was even using these types of words 5 years ago, because that's what helped me grow, was stepping outside of that routine I was in, as I shared about my previous life. And now I realize that, you know, who am I now? I can't wait to see who I'm going to be in a year from now or 3 years from now. Like, I think this year, 2020, you know, I have several goals, but one of them is to, and one of the main ones is to become a better leader. And to become a better leader, I need to learn and to be open-minded to receive information and inspiration from other people who've been on this path, and to just look deep within to understand why am I doing what I'm doing, and go after my purpose.
Yeah, so good. I feel like we could keep jamming on that, but for the sake of this segment, we're going to jump into the rapid fire round. Listeners, if you've been digging this conversation, we've got an awesome giveaway coming up for you in just a few moments. All right, I've got a series of lightning questions coming at you, Tarek. Are you ready?
I am ready. Bring it on.
All right, let's do this. Question numero uno, fill in the blank. If you really knew me, you would know what?
If you really knew me, you would know that I have a deep passion to grow. You know, someone might even say that I'm obsessed with change and I go after goals and challenges. And, you know, I just want to live the life that I think I could imagine, right? And I would say, like, to be really honest, if you really knew me, you would know me right now at this moment where I am. Because, you know, if I look back 10 years ago, even a year ago, I couldn't imagine the life I'm living right now. So sometimes I wonder, like, who am I going to be in 5 years? And I really look forward to meeting who that person is.
Yeah, I love that. Next question. If you could get one do-over to use and go back in time in a spaceship at any point in your life, would you use it? And if you would, what would you do over again?
I would say, you know, I know the theme of, like, have no regrets because you're a culmination of all your experiences and you wouldn't be who you are without those experiences. So, but I do think that there are some things I wish I would have done differently. And, like, there's times where they're more personal. They're more about relationships where I feel like, you know, if I was more objective and more a stronger person, I would have reacted differently that escalated issues. And so I think this is a lightning round, so I won't give any specific example, but I definitely think that I could have learned and would have a do-over for some personal relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. More on that another time. Next question for you. What is one of your favorite foods that you have tasted in all of your nomadic travels that you feel like might not be so heard of or something that you really enjoy?
Wow. Well, the first thing that came to mind before you said unheard of was I've recently grown an addiction for Beyond Burgers.
Oh, I know. I'm obsessed with the Beyond Sausages right now.
So good. Yeah. I haven't heard of it until 2 months ago, but I've had one almost every day since then. I've gone vegetarian for a while, and it may be temporarily, but Beyond Burger has definitely saved me. I don't even feel like it's vegetarian. I feel like I'm cheating.
So good. Yeah, listeners, you can Google it or check it out. It's like plant-based pea protein. I'm such a little, like, clean food snob, and yeah, they're really good. So I love that. Last question for you, Tarek. What does living the unconventional life mean to you?
Well, I would say living the unconventional life, it means taking a step outside yourself, the cliche, outside your comfort zone, to really try to understand as much as you can who you are. And I know that we always say, like, go travel and go find yourself. But what I realized from my own personal journey is that it was more about creating yourself and liberating yourself from the shackles of whatever life you might feel trapped in. That's the first step. The next step is finding and seeking out experiences and people who inspire the real you. And that's where you can really flourish and create yourself.
Yeah, I love that. I think the finding people that really spark, or I'm just going to paraphrase, reflect the true you, inspire the true you. So good. And I found that so true in my journey. And yeah, I love that. Tell us about the giveaway that you've got for one of our listeners.
Ah, the giveaway. Yes. So I would be very happy to chat with one of your listeners about anything that they want to talk about, whether it's to get to know me better, or if there's anything I can help them out with their project. I would love to get to know one of your listeners better.
Yeah, so we've got a 30-minute consultation that Tarek has so generously donated to one of you guys. So you can head over to unconventionallifeshow.com, click on the giveaway tab, and if you really, really want to win this giveaway, you can send us an email and let us know why. And Tarek, for those that really want to learn more about Nomads Giving Back, about you, about the journey, and really follow along, attend one of the events, what's the best way to do that and to stay in touch?
Yeah, please do. We have our website, nomadsgivingback.com. All our social media handles are also Nomads Giving Back. And yeah, I'd be happy to welcome anyone that wants to reach out. If they want to get involved or have any questions, we'd love to support and see how we can help you help the world.
Yeah, so good. We will throw all of those links, listeners, at unconventionallifeshow.com in the show notes for you over there. Tarek, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with all of us, to dive into your story, the evolutions of your life. We were joking that we'll both be in Bali next month, so I'm looking forward to some Bali time. Anyone else, by the way, who's going to be in Bali, feel free to let us know. Maybe we'll have a whole communal meetup, but really loved diving into you with all the things today.
Absolutely. I look forward to hopefully meeting you next month in Bali. And I really appreciate what you're doing here. I really enjoy your podcast, and I think you're full of inspiration, and I love what you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And Unconventional Lifers, we couldn't do this without all of you. So thank you all for tuning in, and we'll have more amazing content coming at you all soon. So thanks so much, everyone.